Ready?
We're live.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, January 8th, 9 a.m. We are in the public meeting room at the Administrative Building, Stark County, Iowa. And this is a budget work session for FY21 for the Capital Improvements Plan. And I'm going to ask everybody to state your name and position for the record and for recording. And then I'll have a couple of remarks, and then I'll ask the committee to give their presentation. I'm Linda Merkin, Chair of the Stark County Board of Supervisors.
Lucy Martin, Auditor.
Laura Solson, Board of Supervisors.
Sandra King, Director of External Affairs and County Services.
Lisa Heddens, Board of Supervisors.
Alyssa Wignall, Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources.
Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor.
Mike Cox, Conservation Director.
Joby Brogdon, Facilities Management Director.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. As we know, the CIP is a separate work session because all the major projects and acquisitions and equipment now, for several years now, flow through the Capital Improvements Plan. This is the opportunity for you to justify and explain, so we have the information to prioritize and make good decisions and also explain to the taxpayers their use of public funds. If we don't get through all the requests today, Lisa Markley will schedule a callback session for us to review the budget, but I think if we're all efficient in terms of our questions and responses, we can get through the materials today in the time allotted, minimize the need for any callback. And is everybody okay with, as Joby and Mike present, that if we have questions, we ask them at that time rather than wait till the end?
I think that's going to be the most efficient way to go.
Okay, and if we all are efficient with our questions and responses, that'll help us get through it then. Good. So are there any other questions about process we're doing here today? Okay, then let's start.
I'd like to make a comment, though.
Okay.
To point out here, on Monday, we did meet with Lisa Markley, okay, and we got our preliminary projections. And right now, the requests are $3 million more than what we anticipate revenues to be. So I just think we need to say that, and maybe at the beginning of every session, okay, as people understand that. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Mike, and any other comments, questions? Mike and Joby, we would like you to proceed then. Walk us through the materials, okay?
Sure. So as you know, the draft plan that you see in front of us, you're all familiar, you've had work sessions with me, you're familiar with the GEMS of this plan. Essentially, the committee, which has now been in place for 2 years, reviews requests from county departments and then basically compiles it for this board's consideration. And so that's what you have. The committee tries to give them consistent formats and things that bring it to you for your consideration. So with that, I guess I'll ask, do you want us to go through each one? I know you've been presented on this before, so do you want to go through the questions? What's your preference?
My preference is that as we just mention each one so that it's on the audio, but that's up to also everybody else about how they want to do that. But that's my thought, you know, as far as that each one gets at least acknowledged and mentioned for those who may be listening on the audio later.
I'm fine with that.
Very good. The first one of the we'll start with FY20, which is considered current year in the CIP. First one is Animal Shelter Livestock Building for $42,000.
That's coming out of the Friends of Animals Fund, and it is in the budget.
Is it all, it's all Friends of Animals, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Huh?
The next one is land acquisition costs for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, land that we will be acquiring. I think everyone's familiar with this project. This amount of $36,000 is not in the budget. When the county entered the agreement with the Corps, which is now over 2 years ago, the county paid up front the Corps' disposal costs in order to go through their federal process for the land disposal. We paid $152,000 at that point. And one of the things that we did not pay for at that point was cultural review. Cultural review is one of the things that's required by the Corps in order to get their approval for disposal of the land. All indications at that point said that there, we might be able to do that in a little different manner. That different manner has not come to fruition, and so the Corps then started a phase one cultural review on this property and did it out of existing funds with the county. Out of that $152,000. Their consultants came back and said that they found more cultural, had more findings than what was anticipated, and so they need additional funds. This $36,000 represents those additional funds. And this is something that we just were notified of right before the end of the year. I think it was December when we found this out. So at any rate, this is not budgeted money. And we are sorting through, I guess, right now with legal if we need to do another agreement and then bring it back for consideration, or if the original agreement contemplated this, covers this. So I'm waiting to hear back from Ethan.
In other words, one option is to tell them, hey, the $152,000 should have covered this. Is that what you're saying, the original agreement?
I guess what I'm wanting to get the answer back from Ethan is, do we need to do a separate agreement? The Corps is saying that the original agreement suffices, that they can essentially overspend.
To their little heart's delight.
Right. And then bill us back. And I'm waiting to get Ethan's review on that. And so that's why it's that. Right now, this is kind of in limbo.
Mike, could we back up a step just to recap why we want this land again? Okay, because this has been multi-years we've been trying to get this land. Obviously, the cost for this free exchange. But can you just do like a paragraph recap for everybody?
Yes. The land essentially is 200 acres. It is the original interstate right-of-way on 35 north to south, where the interstate currently now makes a bend to the east. This would have been the straight right-of-way, the straight line where the interstate was originally platted to go. Federal DOT acquired the right-of-way to that. Concurrent with getting right-of-way for the interstate, this was in the 60s, then the Army Corps of Engineers came forward with a project to build a reservoir. So that project was in the design stage, public discussion stage, just after the federal DOT got right-of-way for the interstate. make a long story short, obviously the reservoir never happened. The interstate got built to accommodate a reservoir that never happened. And so now the Corps owns that original alignment, which again is about 200 acres. Give you kind of a ballpark on north and south extents of that. The south extent would be about where McFarland Park is, where that bend starts, and the north extent would be about the exit for E18, just south of that. So those are the bookmarks for that property. The Corps has been managing that for since the 60s. And leasing portions of that out to neighboring landowners for agriculture. I don't want to make a long story.
What would you like to do with it, Mike?
In 2008, with much effort here locally, Senator Latham was successful in getting a code requirement and an omnibus bill that the Army Corps of Engineers would give this property at no cost to Story County. That was in 2008. They had 180 days to do it. Obviously, it didn't happen. And the Corps said that they didn't have the money to an unfunded mandate, but they didn't have the money to go through the disposal process, which requires them to then dispose of the land. This went round and round for a number of years, and then in 2 years ago, October, we finally executed an agreement between the county and the Corps that they would give it to us at no cost, and we would pay the disposal costs.
At no cost of $153,000 at that point.
$152,000 for 197 acres. The reason that we've been interested in this land from day one is that we view this as an opportunity to strengthen the Greenbelt along the river between Ames and Soy City. So our long-term vision would be to not be stewards or owners of agricultural land, but instead use that land interest to get interest on the Greenbelt. So maybe some swapping, some outright selling and purchasing, the transition from ag land over to Greenbelt. As far as I know, there aren't any of the tenants on that land that aren't eager for that to happen. They're very eager. This would potentially give them the opportunity to get that land back. Some of them are the ones that sold that land originally. It gets them fee title, ideally, fee title to the land that they're now currently renting from the U.S. government. Some of these parcels bisect parcels that landowners have, so they may own on the west and on the east of this core land, and they can't do anything with their property if they wanted to sell with that core land interest in the middle of their field. There have been owners that have been wanting to sell, but they really that selling is difficult when you don't own that center of your field.
Where's that revenue going?
What's that?
Because that deed's been filed and we own the property, correct?
No, we don't. We don't own it. So to answer your question,
it was a good recap for those people who haven't been here before. Yeah, so we want it because of the potential for Greenbelt or to help us develop Greenbelt in the future. Okay.
But its ag operations away from being right next to the river.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It also gets ag operations pulled out from being right next to the river. There's land being farmed that won't be, that can be put into the green.
So some of these landowners, the tenants, like I said, the adjoining owners, have land that yes, is closer to the river.
Mm-hmm.
That we would potentially go to them and say, we'll give you this. You can have this. We need the equation to work to balance. But then we'll swap it for this piece next to it.
So just a quick question. Hopefully it's a number. You've got 36,000 here. You've got two potential funding sources, conservation reserve and general fund. Do you have enough in conservation reserve to do it, or would you be seeking some general fund money, and when?
There is enough in the reserve
okay.
to do that, yes.
I don't know, do you want to put it into FY20's re-estimation budget, or do you, because it's like
I think it's going to have to if we want to stay on.
Right.
We want to keep the project moving. Right now the project is stalled.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the project is
interest right to it. Right now, until the archaeologists can get back out there and continue their work, it's dead and
lost. What kind of cultural remains are they finding?
Mostly, so cultural is classified as prehistoric.
Okay, that's what I mean. We're not talking about old farmsteads, we're talking about.
Yeah, prehistoric is native.
Okay.
And historic is basically white settlement. And so they're finding both along the river. So we know that the river here was a real common winter.
Mm-hmm.
Habituation, habitation area for Native Americans. We know that was really common. So they're finding life. Soper's Mill area is one of the ones that they're finding a lot of historic significance there.
I'm going to move us along a little bit if I can. Can I just summarize? There are reasons that we've been doing this for a while and pursuing it. And $36,000 out of conservation reserve funds would keep it moving.
Can I ask one clarifying question?
Sure, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Did you say you're waiting to hear from Ethan to find out whether you would need to pay another $36,000 or not? So is that kind of in limbo there?
Or
just the contract or the resolution or contract? Is that the only thing that you're...
Essentially, the question right now would be, then, is the mechanism.
Okay. It's not that we're going to have to... It's pretty sure we're going to have to pay the money. He's not...
Whether we pay it without a contract right now and rely on the existing documents.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's not from the existing 152. It's over and above that. It's just a document, a piece of paper.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I want clarification on. Thank
Good.
You.
Thanks for asking that.
Yep.
So Lisa's suggesting re-estimating FY20, this $36,000, and you're okay with conservation reserve to get it moving? Is that right?
I said there's enough. The reserve has the capacity to do that.
Okay. Might be the easiest way to do it right now since it's this fiscal. Okay. Good. Then on to Hickory Grove Sewer, unless there's any other questions on this.
Well, sewer. So I think, again, most of you are probably familiar with the sewer project. This money, right now there's money budgeted in this year's budget for sewer work. What we're thinking is that this money, $50,000, represents consultant time to design the sewer system. If the fallback again doesn't work with the city of Cocoa.
So speaking of that, I went to Cocoa City Council on Monday night, right? And the mayor said that he'd had talked to you, and he was left with the understanding or impression that you had the entire amount of the sewer money ready to go. So that is correct, right? So of the 750 we're looking at here, is, and that would be for, you have the entire amount to hook up to the Colo sewer.
700,021.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
So if we go the Colo route, then yes, Conservation Board has been using camping revenues for the last several years, accumulating those with the hope of using that towards.
So that it would also be conservation reserve.
Yeah, that's 729,000 right now. There,
okay.
Well, the balance as of end of December is 729,000.
Okay.
So, yes, if we go the route of connecting to Colo, based on our latest cost estimate, the reserve would cover that.
Okay.
The latest cost estimate is 450,000. And that estimate is, I believe, a 2016 estimate. Quote me on that year, but it's in that vintage. And so I expect that there'll be an inflationary increase on that.
Did they give that estimate? Whose estimate is that?
It came from Central Iowa.
Ah,
their engineers.
So in the current year, Mike put 450 for that project out of conservation reserve. He's re-estimating it to 50 so that he can get it started if he can yet this year. And then the rest he put in FY21.
And that's if we have to do something ourselves, which would be what?
If we can't connect to Colo, then we're looking at most likely building an on-site.
That's what I thought.
Which would be probably a three series balloon. Some of the facilities, maybe we can go get away with doing some standalone, like an Advantex type of system to take the load, some of the load off of the lagoon. But that's what we'd be looking at. And that has not been engineered. And that would be what the $50,000 would be for, to get some get a contractor to help with that engineering design.
So we don't have an estimate on a lagoon.
We what?
Do we have an estimate on a lagoon?
Again, that would date back to estimates that were done by Central Iowa Water, and it ranged from, I'm going to say 750 at the low to 1.1-ish at the high.
And Laura, since you told me about your discussion at Colo, I have talked with Mike and with the chair of Conservation Board, and we're going to meet next Monday to discuss this more.
I appreciate that.
So we're in, yeah, to get ready to talk with him a little more. So thank you for giving us that information. Any other questions about this? Okay.
Ready for the next one? Mm-hmm. Sedefco Environmental Learning Corridor construction, phase three construction. This is building the trail. The R38 connector from the, if you will, the middle roundabout, university, along an old railroad alignment to the west. From the middle roundabout, and then turning due west along 260th Street, staying on the north side of the existing fence line. It's all ag field owned by the university. We have all of those easements now, and then running that all the way to R38.
This money was already voted upon to be bonded, correct? Have we bonded?
We bonded for all of the Tedesco Environmental Learning Center that we have
that you guys voted to do.
Okay.
So here's what I'd like to comment on this one. I appreciate that carried through, I think. But I think this should just say TIF revenue for the funding source for this portion.
I agree.
And I've reestimated what the balance is. Yes, you borrowed 1.5, but spending trend, we're at 1,338,267 is what's actually reestimated in your FY20 budget for this. Okay? 1,338,267. And what I've done is I took, okay, this is what hasn't been spent of the bonded money to show that.
So we would just change that to say potential funding sources, TIF.
I don't think it should say anything else for this portion of it, because we bonded for this. We haven't, it's not coming from anywhere else.
Right. And in the event that Mike would need more money, he's going to have to find it elsewhere. It's not going to be out of TIF. I mean, we're done there. We're done with...
Well, there's... he got a REAP grant.
Oh, did...
Also.
Do you have a REAP grant to put to this?
It's already been moved over there.
Okay.
So she for another $438,666 in next year's budget, but that was all a REAP grant.
Got it. Thank you. So for 20, we just got the 1338 and put the REAP grant in 21.
Right. Okay, 438,666 in 21. Yep.
When we get
and
there,
that takes
we
care of
that.
All the money you bonded plus any grant he got.
That consistent.
So the combination of those two is available for the project.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Plus REAP in 21. Okay. Good. I like the fact that we're getting some of this clarified as we go through here. This is useful. Okay, it looks like Joby, you're next.
Yep.
Unless there's anything else on that, Mike. Okay, Joby.
All right. This is the Justice Center HVAC equipment replacement project, the first phase of it. It is a budgeted project. It was budgeted at $360,000. We ran into some structural issues and some equipment code problems that the 434 that's listed in the CIP is an accurate number. It is currently out for bid due to have those bids opened next Tuesday at the board meeting. So
the budgeted amount is the 360,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and then versus what we've gotten up for the actual cost is, so we're going to take about another 84 out of the general fund, correct?
Lisa.
And that's included in your reestimate.
Yeah, it's
okay.
In your reestimated budget.
But we'll know 100% next Tuesday what the actual cost of that thing.
That's why I keep saying this is a plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Right. But we get the numbers closer as we go along.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, even though that's not going to be the final number, that's closer to what we should
yeah.
be expecting in the 360.
Or even looking at, you know, when we have this last in front of the board, you know, the 434 is where the architect and engineer kind of had us estimated, and it was discovered last Tuesday after we got the final report from the structural engineer that they reduced the need for additional bracing on that roof for those three units that have caused us a problem. So I'm hopeful that the cost will even be less than our last estimate. So
cool.
Good.
We had a good turnout at the mandatory walkthrough of the project last week, so I'm anticipating a number of bids coming in. So
great.
That's always good.
Anything else on that? If not, continue. Who wants to do secondary roads?
I can just make that make the statement. You signed a new lease for motor graders.
Mm-hmm.
Last fiscal year, and those dollars have been coming for many, many, many years out of the 40% local option sales tax dollars that goes into the rural fund. The lease payment is $250 a year.
Thank you.
And I can do the next one, too, if you'd like. The Countywide Interoperable Communication System. At this point in time, you have bonded $3 million to pay for this, our portion, Story County's portion of this. That bond includes the purchase of equipment, and it includes the purchase of the equipment, and it includes the infrastructure. So basically what we looked at was $1.5 million for infrastructure, $1.5 million for purchase of equipment. At this point in time, we've been billed for $500,000. Okay. And that is two payments on the infrastructure and one payment on the purchase, on the down payment on the radios. I'm hoping upon hope that at some point in time in the very near future we can get a presentation to the board as to where we're going, where we're at, what the status is. I think Linda and I have both talked about doing it. It's a matter of not getting, not being able to get everybody together and not having a good ability to update from Dina and us. So I've been going to the meetings with Linda.
Okay.
Jovi's been going to the meetings. So I feel like we are able to know what's going on in that manner and protect the dollars that we have borrowed for this.
And the ongoing budget is still, there's still some unknown costs. And really until we get a chance to get all those, you know, really set down so we know what we're talking about, it seems to me that it's wise to wait on some of that.
Correct.
I was just got that taken care of.
We've talked, Jovi and I have talked about this too. At this point in time, we know what the ongoing cost, we know what the budget's set for ongoing costs for next year. We have put money in the budgets for that. All the departments put money in the budgets for the number of radios they ordered or are planning on ordering or whatever the status is. And I heard you ask the other day, Loris, about purchasing. Yes. Everybody that's on the county portion is purchasing, not leasing.
Thank you.
We're doing the one-time payment, not the three-year.
Correct. Yes, schedule. I'm sorry, I misspoke. That's not true. It wasn't a lease. It was a three-year payment.
Yeah.
But we paid it for them up front.
And that was helpful also yesterday, or I mean Monday, the day all moved together, when also it was noted that that's charged in the story comp, so we're not having to worry about those split to the individual budgets as far as the purchase of
correct.
Okay.
And what's in the fiscal year 21 budget?
So in the fiscal year 21 budget, I put the remaining balance of the $3 million basically.
Okay.
So that's 1.115. Mm-hmm. It's on page 47 in your budget if you're interested in looking at that, and everybody just don't take my word for it, whatever. But it is in your budget right now. You borrowed the $3 million. We put the $3 million in the general fund as a committed, restricted. Excuse me, it's not committed; it's restricted because that's the only thing we can use it for.
Sure.
So if we don't spend the whole $3 million, we'll have to talk about that. I guess this is how I would put it.
Yeah. What options there are
right.
for it.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. The radios that you said, they're in the fiscal year 21 budget. Is that what you were...
The payment structure from Iowa State is five payments of infrastructure and four or five payments of purchase.
Okay.
And they are not necessarily at the same time. So the infrastructure is faster, and so we've paid only one purchase of radio right now out of that. In fact, I don't remember if that $200,000 was just radios or if it was both. So the way they put the payment structure together, it's a progress payment.
Gotcha. Okay.
On everything, and since
the final radios are not done for order, is my understanding. I don't know what your understanding is.
Well, if people are going to take advantage, jurisdictions take advantage of that three-year purchase plan, they had to have in by December,
right.
But they can still this calendar year purchase and have a two-year plan. So I think there's local jurisdictions who are waiting, and I think, quite frankly, some of them are waiting to see if there's any additional money left over from the probably us, you know, and we'd be able to help buy additional radios if they didn't get everything they needed. But the way it's going, Storycom is billing us back. Storycom is paying for the radios and billing us back. So we're paying through it that way, not directly from Storycom.
Right. Right. The other thing is I'm of the understanding and we've been repeatedly told this, that historically E911 budget, which is is not any county dollars that go to the E911 budget. The E911 budget, I can't speak, but okay. That budget is funded through the $1 surcharge. Mm-hmm. And then for local and from the state for what they think our $1 would be. At this point in time, what they've been doing for a long time is paying 50% of the tower costs. So we are going into this assuming that that's going to continue. So the radios are $33.93 apiece. Monthly maintenance. Our assumption?
That's the tower fee. There's a maintenance agreement on top of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, our assumption is that half of the tower fee is going to be paid by E911, but they have yet to vote on that at their budget. I've had conversations with Linda about this. E911 has $1.3 million in their budget as of 12/31.
My understanding is they are also committing, or hope, to pay the pagers. They're buying the pagers that some of the local jurisdictions need. So I don't know how much comes out of that.
Right.
So they've got the $1.3 million isn't totally uncommitted.
No, they have a balance right now of $1.3 million, and they have annual budget of. I'd have to go look. I think their annual budget's $600,000-$700,000.
Another thing that was mentioned at COLA on Monday night was apparently people are moving forward on the effort to create a 2080 related to countywide emergency services. And so I didn't have an opportunity to ask the council person who was talking about it if that also was being driven by E911. Linda, do you know anything about that?
No, I think they've been wanting to do that for some time.
I know that, but I just wasn't clear whether they were driving it through emergency management. It wasn't the mayor.
Emergency management assisted. I think Keith gave them a sample agreement that they might use.
Okay, thank you. Just kind of wondering if you were talking about
rather than a 911 function.
Just wanted to know about, because the next step is where's the money coming from. So okay, thanks.
The money for
if they form a joint EMS, and based upon a conversation I had with the former Huxley, now former Huxley mayor, they were at least in the southwest part.
I don't understand. I mean, that's a mutual aid agreement. I don't understand what the money part would be.
There was discussion in the southwest part of the county about coming to the county to ask the county to help pay for it.
Okay.
To levy an emergency services?
They didn't talk about that so much as they just wanted money from us. It was like I said, it was passed on to me by the former Mayor Huxley. I'm only bringing it up now as you were mentioning the E-911 budget.
Well,
that's
it. The township trustees budget.
I want to tell you just what the conversation was. We can move on since you brought up. I just was wondering if E-911 budget would be impacted. Okay.
Okay, so that is FY20.
Excuse me. I have two on my sheet that we were discussed during the initial discussion back here on the 12th that don't show up here now. So I had $45,000 for the schematics for the Story County attorney remodel area. Have we dumped? Are we not paying for the schematics? Have we moved it all to fiscal year 20?
I don't know what the $25,000 for schematic design for the attorney's remodel is. It's still going on, but that was unbudgeted. Expense of $4,000, and it's so I don't know where the
document are you looking at.
I'm looking at my own spreadsheet because after December 12th, when we had that meeting, I took my numbers and my spreadsheet and my notes, okay, and I went back to my sheet and I put in this. The other thing I had is we still got the admin building generator capacity increase planning, $35,000. Did I make that up out of just like nowhere? Did we not talk about that on December 12th?
Not that I recall.
I don't have any notes.
Okay, this is my December 12th notes. What page are you looking at on that document?
My document. Okay, yeah. So you're talking about when we ran.
You said we talked about December 12th. I've got a copy here that says with notes from December 12th.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why I'm asking.
We're in fiscal year 20.
Yeah. I had under administrative building infill removed 21.
I'm looking now on my actual notes from fiscal year 20. Okay.
The $35,000 is an accurate number, Loris. That would be the cost for that project if, because that was depending on the time that they decide whether FEMA decides whether or not they would accept that project as something that they would fund wholly, partially, or however you want to word that. Depending on the timeline that they would release those funds versus when we would have the engineering study, the engineering done.
Right.
Depending on where those two fall together, it's either they would or would not cover the engineering costs.
Okay.
But I think we was anticipating all costs would be in FY21.
All right. Thank you.
And that would include the $35,000.
So thank you.
So yeah, the number is accurate. I just think we weren't anticipating any costs with that project in FY20.
Okay, got it. So and then you said the schematics then for the Story County are only about $4,000. Maybe I added zero. Okay, super. I appreciate it. I'm glad I asked that.
Yeah, we're about halfway.
Okay.
We've been billed for about half that cost at this point. And then given that Jessica Reynolds is moving on, we ceased any kind of planning until we have a new attorney. So there's no point in doing any more design until we get the county attorney on.
So most likely 41, 20, okay. 20, but it's a small amount.
Yeah.
So I've got a transposition error. And thank you for affirming the $35,000
was the correct number. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Ready to move on?
Just in terms of where we are here, we have Veterans Affairs at 11 o'clock. We just finished FY20, I think. Are we intending to go through the entire plan or just through 21 today?
It's up to you.
entirely up to you.
Let's go as far as we can.
Maybe
we speed up the pace a little bit and get it started.
Maybe we...
Well, I think your FY20 and 21 are the two critical ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking the actual dollars are either in the budget or not in the budget.
Right.
So
Maybe we can do fiscal year 21 is if we have anything that we want to specifically add to things listed, you have specific questions versus going line by line, or we can go project by project, at least through 21.
Let's go project by project.
Okay.
And try to
21.
Go quickly.
Through 21. Okay.
So, Mike, would you start us out?
So the first one is the renewable energy cabin at Dakin's Lake. As you know, that money was just budgeted in this year's budget. It is still in this year's budget. We are still trying to move forward with the alternative, move that project forward to construction. It is represented in 21 because I'm not sure on the timeline of it. And is it money that, in an ideal world, we get it obligated in 20, but it wouldn't all be spent in 20. So Lisa and I have discussed this, and I guess it's really your pleasure how you want to show that. Like I said, it is money that's right now in FY20. We anticipate I would like to get it obligated in 20, but it won't all be spent in 20. Some portion is going to go into 21.
So
anything to add to that?
No, it is in the budgeted, or it is in the re-estimated for FY20 at this point in time.
That's $270,000.
Up to $270,000.
Yep.
Okay. And if you had an architect's estimate of $512,000 as it was designed, was that right?
On an earlier.
Okay.
Earlier design that we went through, correct. And so that design has been shelved right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with a down road to another cabin. However, Dakin's Lake, we wanted to move forward with a more economical option. And so at the moment, we're looking at prefab, modular prefab type building.
That could still have some renewable features in it. All right, because I just want to let the board know that when this came up 2 years ago, there was a healthy and robust discussion, including asking for it, and I think it was me. I said, give me comparables here, and when we really went over these comparables and what makes you think that we want to build a cabin out there, it would be viable. So there was a commitment from that board or real interest in it being a renewable, having renewable features. Also, then you're looking at prefab, but are you looking at it still housing 12 people sleeping? See, that was the other thing that was sold to us because, like I said, I still have the comparables. Maybe we can get somebody to run the copies or whatever, but it was a pretty hefty discussion here about what makes you think people are going to come want to stay at Dakin's Lake, especially if it's a small cabin, and I challenged the estimates of revenue for that about where the reimbursable revenue would be. So now what you're talking about is you're talking about a small cabin, and what kind of renewable features do you think you're going to get? And where I'm headed is the previous board had gone ahead and committed $60,000 out of general fund, countywide general fund revenues to go into here based upon what we were sold. So what do you think about?
So it would still have high efficiency windows. It would still have high R value in walls and in ceilings, so heavier construction, if you will. It would not have geothermal, which the other one had, and probably would be designed to accommodate photovoltaic or solar,
mm-hmm.
but probably not have included.
And that was what was held up to us, is because Hamilton County had just built their that cabin that was off the grid at Little Wall Lake.
They put in the independent PV or photovoltaic array that powers essentially the entire park, independent of the cabins. Yes, it includes the cabins, but it's a system that's park-wide.
I'm concerned that $270,000 isn't enough for what we anticipated being there. Okay, I understand cutting back, but also for the commitment that a previous board made, at least to help contribute more general fund monies into it. So at least maybe options could come forward to the board, you know, when you're ready again, maybe an option that looks at solar panels for it or something beyond just windows and some insulation upgraded.
If we can get another one that we've talked about that's difficult to radiant slab heating, it would have a heat pump in it, so that's another one. Another removal feature that it would have, heat pump. And so, yeah, it would have some, but not the full breadth. Have water saving fixtures and those kinds of things. Really, the geothermal is the big one that this one would have. And that one had additional solar, or not solar, but lighting and solar tubes in it, and more passive solar. The original planner.
And if I recall, this was the project that you came before us that your entire board agreed to, you need to scale it back, if that's correct on it, mainly because of the cost, and you had to relook at what you were able to do or something that would be more reasonably financed.
And you know,
Laura's
absolutely right. Originally, we talked about a larger cabin and a big vision. Found out that the vision really didn't fit the funding. And so now the conservation board really wants to go back and say, well, what can we do that fits the funding that doesn't abandon the ideas of renewable features and can still meet a need that they can play and be something that the community can and the county can.
Well, I want to step this back a second. I was not on the board that approved this, and I have a concern in terms of the vision in general for cabins. You know, what do you think is a reasonable amount and locations of cabins to have in Story County? I'm concerned about overbuilding. I'm concerned about putting, cabins someplace where they're not going to be used. I'm concerned about what capacity or what occupancy rates you would be looking at for these cabins. I'd like to see, personally, some overall planning on this, because I have a concern that if we start doing this, and well, we've got a cabin at Dakin's, so we have to have five cabins at Hickory, we have to have another cabin at Dakin's. What is our vision? What is our plan for cabins? And I know you've got information about what other areas have done. I would just like to see something that puts this in context. That's my concern.
Sure. Very bad.
Even more so than, are we going to have this or are we going to have that in it? What are we going to have as a cabin system, and how do we justify that expense to the taxpayer?
And I'll just say, we do not have a comprehensive cabin plan. We do not have that. What we have is a master plan at Dakin's Lake that calls for three cabins.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, of course, to be the first. And then we have desires at Hickory Grove Park to have cabins as well, to be determined, mm-hmm. number and size, but those have been the desires thus far. We know that cabins statewide are, I guess the state is woefully under cabins, if you will. And cabins that are in the state are, I guess, reserved very quickly, and it's hard to find cabins. Mm-hmm. And when I say in the state, I'm talking about those that are maybe state owned and county. So we know there's a high demand for cabins. We haven't quantified that demand, nor put it into any kind of plan, infrastructure plan, for we know we want X number at X facility. That hasn't been done. So you're right, we don't have kind of an overall cabin.
And I think the reason to a capital improvements plan mm-hmm. is to go out several years and say, where are we going? What's our end goal? Where do we want to be? And then to logically sequence that. I also question whether Dagan's is the first place to put a cabin.
That came up 2 years ago again, and I did point out part of my reticence here on that is having grown up 9 miles from Clear Lake, and knowing that rental of cabins, et cetera, and what's attractive has to do with multiple amenities for families. And so I thought Hickory Park, since we had a beach there and had more robust fishing and et cetera, was maybe the place to start. So thank you, Linda, for bringing up some of the same concerns that I had before. So I'm not necessarily willing to just go fund this cabin anymore. I know that you told the Zeering City Council, I was there that night, that, we're going to go forward and we're going to try and do it in 20 still. And the mayor has said something to me since. I ran into him somewhere else. And saying, you guys, come on, we can get this done, and you guys can just kick in more money, meaning you guys need the Board of Supervisors, and I was very neutral about it, And so, but I do agree that...
somebody from the jury say we're just grateful to have them.
Yeah, so...
one person, but I think the question of if people in Zeering would feel disappointment if we didn't go that way. Yes, some would, I'm sure. But
I just wanted to point that out, that, about, so I'd like to pull it until we have more information. That we get a plan or something, but that's...
I guess I'm not quite sure on that. I wouldn't say yay or... I don't have a yay or nay necessarily on it. I guess my thoughts are, because we've been in the planning process for it, but at the same time, just listening to the conversation, certainly would be nice to have a broader comprehensive plan to just know what is the need around here, what would be the utilization capacity, how many is, three good, is five good, is ten good? I mean, we don't know, so it's hard to anticipate for project growth on there.
I really appreciated the Conservation Board saying 512 was too much. And if you recall, Mike, I did say at the board meeting that night, I didn't participate in discussion because I knew I'd be voting here. But after the Conservation Board, said we want to pull it, I said I really thought that was... I really appreciated the board doing that. I thought that was responsible in terms of looking at taxpayer money. But I also said at that point, if we're going to be putting money into something that's a demonstration and sustainable approaches and all that, maybe the first place, or maybe where we do that, the first place we consider doing that is Hickory, where we already have lots of people going. Mm-hmm. People would see it. People would use it. I still think Hickory's a better choice. To if you're going to do, go down to start with.
And I just want to make sure I understand. You're saying you think Hickory is a better choice for a cabin, period, or a demonstration facility?
Personally, both.
So for clarification to you, so are you thinking of, based on Loris's comment of pulling this for more information or more of a redirection, or I'm clear based on your question.
Yeah. I would just like to communicate to the board that we're not, it sounds to me like we're not sure we'd like to see more of a plan.
Sure.
We'd like to see more of a plan of where do you think you're going with cabins? What do you project for occupancy rates and revenue and what you're basing that on? Because I know you've got a lot of information on this. And it would take some time, but I think it would be easier for us to know that we're making the best investment of the taxpayer money if we have that kind of data.
The we have attendance data, we have overnight stay data from other counties with comparable facilities, comparable demographics, etc.
Mm-hmm.
We got that. And what we haven't specifically done in that regard is a specific market analysis.
Mm-hmm.
We know that all of those comparables say they pay the cabins off in a number of anywhere from 6 to 8 years. And so we know the need is there.
See, but
I quantified it in terms of specific to Deering. Rather, we've looked at a county approach, a county-wide approach. Does that make sense?
And I, once again, I'm going to go back to what I brought up in that conversation before, including we discussed IBIS at that time, that, about getting more data. And I'm going to go to IBIS because they were the ones who then we paid to go ahead and do that analysis. I appreciate that you had Ryan send it to me. I haven't had time to look at it yet, so that's my fault. But the point when we had this discussion 2 years ago, and it was related around cabins again, was that there was data coming that was going to very much break out what the economic viability and economic contribution was, marketing then to related into what our various conservation attractions were. And that was based off of the air. We sure Dakin's Lake is where we want to put it, because I don't think that most of the cabins that were on our list were truly apples to apples related to what the amenities were associated with staying in those cabins. And back to the, is Hickory Park the way to go? So I apologize that I didn't read that yet going into it, but there is information, I think, available.
Yeah, and in the interest of to clarify the CIBIS report, we have a contract with CIBIS lab from the university to do business spending analysis at Hickory Grove, Dayton's Lake, and Tedesco. Their analysis is visitor spending. It's not related to a cabinet.
Okay, thank you.
It's on visitor spending. And so we have little that we can extrapolate from that, other than if we say that we're going to increase attendance at Dakin's Lake by X, we know that we have some formulas that we can anticipate what the spending is going to do.
Okay.
Is that increased attendance?
That didn't have anything to do with cabins. It was the Talcon spending that, and it was a broad brush from what I saw of it.
Okay, so you've seen it. Good. It never came back to the Board of Supervisors, which was a little surprising to me. I thought it wasn't done then, because normally you bring back something that really emphasizes this is great.
Nevertheless, to try to keep us moving along.
Yeah.
That doesn't really address the cabins. And I'm not asking to, you know, to have something. I guess I'm just saying, using the data you have from other counties and looking at that, you should be able to project in Story County, if we were going to be comparable at least, what, you know, how many cabins, what capacity, what occupancy rates we would have. I mean, I don't think it's past, you know, staff's abilities to do with the data you already have. I just think we need to see a plan. We just need to say, what are you looking at? What do you think we should, you know, where and why?
Suggestion for me would be, instead of scrapping this as it's listed here on the CIP, maybe change it to renewable energy cabins study and design phase. Scrap the Dakin's Lake portion of it and the construction portion of it, and maybe reduce the ask for funding would be my suggestion. Kind of.
So is this board then at the position of right now the makeup of that $270,000 is $180,000 of conservation board revenues and $90,000 of general fund.
$90,000. That was $60,000.
What's that?
I'm sorry. General fund meaning from countywide or out of your?
Correct.
Oh, because you took that extra $20,000 and automatically signed it. No, we said $60,000. $60,000 is what the previous board had committed to out of countywide. So where do you get $90,000 from, please?
Am I remembering that?
No, my original. Here's what I have gone with the assumption all the way. $250,000 was the amount.
$250,000.
So $190,000 was come out of energy transfer funds out of the $1.6 million, and $60,000 was coming out of county taxpayer dollars.
So I have that. So $60,000 out of general fund, $190,000 out of BTS.
Correct.
So
that's where I was at from day one.
And then
now,
then you added, yes.
So 20 is in your FY 21 budget to come out of donation fund.
Correct. So then with that breakdown, 190 from ETF, 60 from general funds, countywide general fund, and 20 from private donation.
Except that I like Jody's idea here about we need to get a study and a plan going. That's what I think we're hearing from the board in consensus here. So what we're really looking about from a dollar amount and we need to decide is where would that, let's say if we put here $40,000 or $25,000, I mean, I don't know, studies and plans are your guys' kind of expertise about what it costs, but so then where would we pay for it? I'm willing to have that come out of the countywide part of that $60,000 or whatever. So if we said $25,000, help me out, here's somebody who works more with studies and plans, would $25,000 be adequate to develop a study and plan about a cabin strategy?
I don't know. It's a short answer. I don't
okay.
know.
I would think it's probably not.
Joe, if you can say, what I wanted to clarify is we had, of that breakdown, am I hearing correctly from the board that even if the conservation board were to come up with a plan to put a cabin there in FY20, in that dollar amount, within that dollar amount, that this board would not allow that to happen shy of a plan. Is that what I'm hearing?
From me, you're hearing that.
Shy of a comprehensive plan.
I'm just trying to think of my thoughts or whatever, so I get them out of my head correctly. I guess for me, I'm, it, you know,
I just want to know that that's the right place and that you're going to get the traffic to have a cabin, you know, to have a cabin. I mean, usually when you go someplace, there's a reason why you want to go to that particular area.
Can I ask a question? I always get confused with terminology. Somebody said, please help me. With this $270,000, okay, the $190,000 is energy transfer. Does our board approve using that, or is Conservation Board totally, is it totally up to Conservation Board?
It is committed in the general fund, so it's a uncommitment from this board.
We would need to uncommit, and we have that option to say no.
In a previous board, passed a resolution stating that funding, the energy transfer fund account, would be spent as per Conservation Board, but with the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, that's exactly where
right.
That resolution
board approval.
So my, I'm going to,
and I think this was in the original commitment of funds, if I'm not mistaken, but I'd have to go look at that.
So you, from the $190,000 standpoint, looking at this one, now I understand why you're trying to break it down. You're trying to figure out what the Conservation Board could say they wanted to spend. Okay, I mean, you're trying to still finagle this, all right? So here's my response, all right? I'm not voting for the $60,000. So I guess if the Conservation Board wants to go in and say, we have $210,000, right? We're going to spend it exactly how we want it, so please just rubber stamp that, all right? Yeah, I agree. There's a resolution. Okay, but I'm not voting for the $60,000 that you at a minimum it looks like would need, all right, because after Linda spoke, and I appreciate that what she pointed out, a plan going forward is a good one, all right, especially when we're talking about where is the right place to put this and where exactly. And I voted 2 years ago for a plan for the CIP related to all the things I brought up before, so I'm not going to reiterate. But I'm now really, really convinced that we owe it to the taxpayers.
And then let me add something here because I did start this. And it's kind of difficult because I know a previous board, you know, and the Conservation Board, you're looking at, well, a previous board said, we're fine with this, whatever. Now it's being thought, you know, I really have a feeling that if we truly feel that something maybe should be done differently, should be looked at differently, and we're dealing with you know, public funds, we have an obligation to say, can we step back here? What I would like to do, rather than get into one of these with our board and Conservation Board, is saying, can we mutually agree to step back and talk about this some more? And can we have a longer range plan of where we're going? I understand that can be difficult when a group is planning something and thinks they have that authority. They have the go-ahead. They have it, and somebody says, wait a second, let's reconsider. I'm just asking that we reconsider before we go ahead with this plan.
Yeah, and thank you. That's just been what I've been struggling with here, is that it's already been approved, and that's what I've been struggling with mentally, and how what path we take moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that comment, and I think that the Conservation Board would be more than willing to have that discussion.
And I'd be willing to talk about that with them, but next Monday I'm having, as I told you, I have another commitment I have to get to, so I can't be at the board meeting Monday. But maybe you and I and Craig could talk about it ahead of time. Is that okay?
Yeah,
you just
that's
do this as
fine.
A request to step back, put a pause on this.
Well, and already approved was, as we've already discussed, the previous board approved something that had things and concepts and understandings that no longer exist. And if we can't go ahead then and put the brakes on to look at this and say what else, what other options are out there, then that's a real problem.
And maybe something that we could do, and I'm just going to suggest it and see what you say, mm-hmm. is in terms of a good faith effort that we really want this, we're not just being obstreperous, to say that we're willing to take part of that $60,000 general fund and utilize that for study.
That was where I was headed.
Okay.
Until
we know a little more, not to confirm exactly all of the $60,000, but part of that to a study, and I would be interested in how that study would be put together.
Is it back? I mean, what's the status? You got the bid, and you stopped. So where are you at on this?
Researching alternatives.
Okay, so we're not in the middle of another process that we'd have to tell our contractor.
No. And that's why.
Okay, and I say that too, and it kind of goes along with what both my colleagues have said too, is you've already had to take a step back because of the cost that you had initially. And so this is just, I know it's always hard when you're planning something, but sometimes it's good to take another step back and just say, okay, we just, at this point, you know, if you had an initiative 2 years ago or a year ago, whatever, we need to know now just more information. Because you said we do have a shortage of cabins in the state. Well, I don't know what the shortage is. I mean, I'll be honest, I camp at Holiday Inn, so, you know. so I don't know what that need is. I don't know what the number of folks, you know, I know there are folks in the county that would want to do that, but, you know, is only a 6-person or 12-person capacity the ones that are the higher need or higher generated out there? So that would be where I would be kind of wanting that additional information.
That's why I was struggling with leaving it in. Why I was struggling with the fact that it was still in the 20 budget, because, you know, we're 6 months away from the end of 20.
Right.
That cabin is not going to get built between now and June 30th.
Right.
So that's why it needs to be in 21 if we're going forward. But, yes, Mike's right. There's some dollars that probably need to be in 20 if the study's going forward. It's so, just a very aggressive timeline is what I'm saying.
So what if we do this? What if we take this project and retitle it something like Renewable Energy Cabins?
Design phase?
Not design, because what we're talking about is a needs study.
Oh, that's right, needs study.
So change the type of project from new project/construction to needs study, potential funding source, general fund, estimated budget amount to be determined, with us knowing there's $60,000 available of general fund that we've already discussed. Does that work for people?
Yeah, that works for me.
And I'm sorry, just the amount then.
To be determined.
Got it.
Knowing that we have $60,000 there, that we could go up to $60,000, but to be determined, because we're just pulling a number out of a hat right
okay.
now.
Thank you.
Is that, and Mike, I would be glad to talk to Craig about that in advance.
And then when we talk their budget, I'll make sure we've reestimated out the 20 and the 21 numbers for now.
The 60,000 is yet for 20, correct?
Yeah.
So it's, you're reestimating the 270 to 60,000 only in the year 20.
We're moving it back to 20.
We're moving it back to 20.
Is that it, or is it 21?
Well, what do you want
to
do?
Let's move it back to 20. I think that's a good phase in terms of showing the conservation board that we can move quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
Mike, I know that's been it's been a difficult conversation. I appreciate you staying with us on it. And Joby,
sure.
Thanks for your input. Okay. We'll get there. We just need to step back and do some harder looking. Okay. If we're done with that, then McFarland Park Lake Restoration Design. That's a 21.
I have no questions about it. I think we talked about it at the workshop.
And yes, it's in the budget.
In
everything
budget.
In 21 that's listed next is in everything along here is all I found in the budget.
Okay. I didn't find it in there.
Okay, thank you.
I think that the next one, the Heart of Iowa Nature Trading, go ahead. Heart of Iowa Nature Trail Paving. Mm-hmm.
needs to have EFT added to the back of it for dollars, because in his in the budget it actually says he's got SERPTA money, he's got state money, and he's got ETF money. So I just think we should add ETF to be consistent.
And okay, we can go back to the budget and find this how the amounts per source then.
Right.
Okay.
With among those three funding sources, okay, how much does that end up being between the
page 88 shows in his budget for FY21 he put phase two at Cambridge SERPTA 200,000 SRT 530 and ETF 327,500.
Okay.
At the moment in the budget there's no general fund.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So we crossed out general fund.
At the moment.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, none of those grants are necessarily final, so I don't. I don't know why we would ever. Well, are they? Did I misspeak?
Trying to recall. Yes, I believe the SERPTA one is.
Yeah.
No, we signed the agreement on the 530.
But has it been awarded?
Yes.
And who's that
they
from?
They've both been awarded.
Yeah.
We don't have it.
What is SRT? I should know. State?
State Recreation.
Recreation.
And the energy transfer was what?
To the balance.
I think you said what was it?
Well, 327.5 is what.
Mm-hmm.
327.5 is
okay.
What he put in the budgeted request.
Okay.
I mean, the whole $1,077,000 is in the budget. But
so we're good on that money.
There's offsetting grants.
I mean, grant everything, but you've got guarantees on all that money.
Correct.
Okay, good.
So the next one, the paving in Slater, at this point in time, that whole $132,000 is coming from the general fund. I don't show anything else as a funding stream on that.
We don't have any grants right now on that.
And not ETF, only general fund, right? I mean, I don't see ETF behind it either, so I just want to make sure I'm
correct. We haven't represented it with ETF.
Why would we not have taken it out of the ETF?
This is a very good question. At this stage, particularly if we're not using the 190 or cap, then I would say that's available. If we were on the previous best case scenario, the availability of that through ETF is questioned.
Got it. So
and it's in the city of Slater.
Yeah.
Correct.
But we own it.
Okay.
It's in the city limits, but it's county owned.
Okay. And this is just a piece that we just need to pick up. I'm sorry that I don't remember, because we did see a map before us.
I'll show you this real quick.
Yeah.
I have the one copy.
That's fine, because we had them when we got the previous packet, so I'm just remembering.
So
oh, yeah.
That 132 is the blue section right here.
Okay.
The High Trestle Trail comes in this way.
Okay, all right. Thank you for reminding me where that was. Okay.
Yep, I got it.
Well, I think given all of the money and all of the resources that have been put into the Heart of Iowa Nature Trail by federal and state funds and our funds and whatever, that it seems to me counterproductive if we don't do this section. All right. So I guess I'm fine with it sitting out of the general fund right now. I think, you know.
Well, I think that, you know, might put state and federal grants so
right.
You to act, try to access
right.
Those. But
so if you can find
you
one,
you'll
reduce
it.
Because you're
we can. I don't.
Right.
At the moment, there's typical grants available for trails.
Mm-hmm.
Been really successful on capitalizing those on larger projects.
Right.
We held off on this one, frankly, because we were hoping Slater would apply for one that's available to the city and not the county. Well, we weren't successful in
convincing Slater
making that happen.
Okay.
And so now it really is our onus. It is our trail. We were hoping that they could capitalize on additional grants.
So I'm hearing we're okay leaving it in as the 132 general fund. If something comes up and you can reduce that with other funds, you'll do it, we know. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay. Heading on then to road resurfacing in Hickory Grove.
So this one, this 180,000, which is in the FY21 budget request, resurfaces the already hard surfaced portions of the road at the in part road at Hickory Grove. So essentially, this is, if you're familiar with it, project coming with lots of heavy truck traffic on that road. We opted, of course, not to do it prior to that. Now that the renovation is largely done, it will be done by the time this happens. And if the road will be in worse shape, of course, with all that truck traffic costs as well. So, hence the request to move forward with that service.
Any questions or comments?
No, I think this is back to a lot of investment out there at Hickory Grove. It is our most used other than the front. Yeah, no problem.
We still got a couple more pages, so moving on.
Okay.
Vault toilet at West Peterson.
West Peterson Park Vault. This puts a vault restroom at West Peterson Park. This is one of the parks that we have to service right now. Mm-hmm. Portable restrooms. West Peterson is one of our heavy. It's not clearly not the heaviest park, but it's one of our heavier use ones. We did have trail counters out there that we were trying to get an idea on vehicle count. And at one point last year, we had over 500 vehicles a day that went there. It's heavily used. It's got a beach. It's our only other beach. And what we'd really like to do is to respond to age-old requests from the community and get a legitimate restroom. There is no plumbing, i.e. there is no, at all. It would just be a vault. So that's what we'd like to do.
What is a vault? Like a composting toilet?
What's
or to clean it out?
Well,
is it a composting toilet or is it?
This would just be a pit.
Just
vault.
A pit.
It would be a prefab concrete building on top of a pit.
Okay.
A concrete pit that would have to be pumped probably once a year, maybe twice a year.
Okay, so pretty cheap to pump?
What's that?
Pretty cheap to pump?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's just the same as pumping a septic tank.
Oh, okay.
I have no problems, and my husband and I, since it's close to where we live, at least, we picnic there. So it's nice to not have to run home.
Yeah.
Okay, we have no questions then. We're okay. Let's keep going.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers land acquisition. So this is another piece of that project. This is with the assumption that we get title to it, that we get title to that 197 acres. And now we have to go through our own processes for disposal. So this contemplates appraisal. It's a ballpark figure to accommodate appraisal and any surveying that might need to be done for parcel specs.
I have no questions or comments about it.
I don't either.
Okay, let's go.
The next one is Hickory Grove Sewer. We chatted about that already, and you know it's still just kind of a next. We don't know the route yet.
Can I go back one? I just want to make let you guys know that at this point in time, the $46,000 is budgeted only in the general fund, not conservation reserve also. Okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Not to say that down the road it might not end up coming out of both, but that's where it's at right now.
Thank you for doing that.
You know,
if we miss one of those, let us know.
No, that's fine.
Because it's good to note it on this plan as well.
I mean, I've said from day one that this is a plan of what we think, so.
I just have a quick comment here. When this is all over and we really do own it, whatever, might be interesting to find out just if we'd been paying outside legal counsel, how much that added to it. I mean, we're very fortunate with inside legal counsel, right?
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So this is mine. Phase two of the Justice Center HVAC equipment replacement. This has changed a little. Well, I'm going to recommend we change it a little bit at this point. Back in early 2018 is when we really first started planning this three-phase project, and it originally was planned to engineer it and bid it in three different fiscal years. I think we need to do phase two and three engineering next in fiscal year 21, so that would raise the cost for phase two by about $10,000, but it would reduce the cost of phase three by about $20,000. And then I think to do it that way, it'll save money on the back end, cost a little more on the front end. But I think I don't like breaking it up, the engineering side, three times, because there's a potential to have three different engineers put their hands on it. And then given what we ran into on the engineering on phase one discoveries that were found, I think to have that information in phase two would really help in phase three. So I'm recommending $440,000 for the phase two. It's listed at $430,000.
I have 480 in here.
My bad.
So
490.
Okay.
So 490. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
And then do we just want to put like slash phase three engineering behind it so that it's very clear?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just making
a note. No, that's a good point. Good. So the Jackson Countywide Space Needs Study is also yours?
Yes.
Will that include where we own land?
Yes.
Thank you.
What did you just say?
Will that include where we own land?
Oh, okay.
So what our potential is for building and how much?
Yeah, that's going to take into consideration all the property that we own and then the needs of everything is my plan. That $35,000 includes that.
Do you have a list of even odd parcels, odd section corners out there in the...
Not all of them,
okay.
But it incorporates the majority of them. You know, there's things that, you know, obviously conservation has that I didn't take into consideration because some of it just wouldn't be appropriate to put like a storage facility on that parcel. But I tried to take into consideration all county owned property that was reasonably... that should be included, that could house some sort of, whether it's just a simple storage facility. You know, some of it I excluded because its location was just wasn't feasible to put anything out there given its location. But
okay.
Yeah, I tried to incorporate into it.
Any other questions? Okay. Thanks for doing this, Joby.
Yeah,
I think it's very neat.
I think it'll pay dividends in the end. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Generator?
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
No word yet on status of the grant applications. They're still accepting. There's no deadline as far as I know yet. So.
And remind me, if we did get that one grant, let's say the better grant, what would our match be on that from general fund?
Instead of getting real technical again, I'm just going to put a simple dollar amount.
Yes.
Best case to work, you know, worst case obviously is $633,000. That's we get zero help, and that's what it would cost to upgrade the generator to about $68,000 on the best, you know, if we got the best grant I applied for, up to $199,000. So.
So at this point in time, there's 199.5 actually, because what Joby did was he showed the grant of 433,420, and I showed the expense, or we showed the expense of 633. So it's 199,280 right now. So that's the worst case scenario that we put in the budget
for the general fund. 199,280.
Yeah.
Okay.
County attorney remodel. Move along.
Move on.
Okay. County attorney remodel. The way the project looks might change, but the cost will be for, you know, I think the cost to actually remodel, it's going to stay the same whether or not what the last kind of design was settled on. So.
And the breakout I had there, Lisa, was about what, $484,000 would be general funds, and then there's the rest of that out of the fines, attorney fines?
I'm not sure we got the 484, but
okay.
What I've presented in the budget at this point in time is 315 transfer. And 315, so 630,
okay.
But 315 from general fund and 315 from the
fine.
Attorney.
Okay, thank
fine
you.
Collection fund.
Good.
Which leaves another 3,000. So if you want to get technical, 318,000.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
The IT, can somebody speak to that?
I think it's
in the budget.
It's in the budget. It's been a through. I think they're doing a NetApp every 3 years. Or
Leanne, that's what Leanne is.
Okay.
Motor lease, same story.
Excavator purchase.
It's in the budget.
Budget.
From, secondary roads department.
And StoryComp, same thing.
So I would, and I would suggest we do it for both fiscal years, but slash, instead of just saying general fund, it probably should say general fund slash bonded. It is coming from the general fund. That's where I deposited the bonded money, but that's the source of funds.
Sure, good.
And for 21, what's actually in your budget is the balance of that $3 million, which is
$1,115,134. So what did you give us the number previously on 20 then?
20 was 1.5. That's what I have in the 20 budget is 1.5.
Okay.
But we spent a little in 19.
Oh, okay.
That's just the remaining.
So what I'm showing right here is the remaining balance. Again,
okay.
It's estimated at this point in time. I don't know what payments we'll have made by the end of 20. So this will change next year when we know what the actual balance of the $3 million is.
Okay.
So that ends 21, from what I can tell.
So what is your pleasure? Should we go on to look at 22?
I don't care.
Is it worthwhile for us?
Let's start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Adam, no?
I just do want to kind of just note then between 20 and 22, we do have 10 plus million in CIP. Now, roughly $3 million of that now, and I'm just using your estimated, that we had. So if story comes, we can take that out. So we're back to then still about $7 million in capital improvement projects.
2021, you mean?
Between 20 and 21.
Okay.
Right. So $7 million and our capital improvement project balance in itself funds is what, $340,000. Thank you.
Which I can put, we can put toward any of this. I mean, unassign those funds and put it toward any of
right.
the current ongoing project.
Okay. Thanks.
So in FY22. First one on the list is Hanlon's Mineral Head Dam Restoration Project. At the moment, we're doing a conceptual review, conceptual analysis, and kind of design should we do with removal and mitigation. That's in progress, and thank you for all of you being at that public hearing that we had at the library. Tremendous turnout, so we're really happy about that. This $500,000, listen, that's just, we don't know what the design is yet, so this is a placeholder. And I anticipate that there will be grant funding available. The state has a dam mitigation grant program, what that dam that is, and so I expect there will be money available. I don't have a good, other than this, kind of placeholder amount. Find that anymore at this point until we get conceptual plans approved and get a cost of change. So I may have a cost opinion, we'll have a cost opinion before the budget is approved in March, but I don't have that. And I will say another possibility for funding here, I can have that, and that is the DM as well, depending on how the project goes.
Okay.
Next one.
Yes,
and this is paving portions of Hickory Grove that are gravel right now. So it would be the campground, the existing campground right here, and then that loop, that bar loop, if you will, this gravel right now. So this $600,000 represents this and this.
It's the area in red.
Correct.
So I definitely can see the need for the campground part of it, just, you know, as being out there and whatever. And I'll have to go take a look again at the loop part of it, but I know it's heavily used, I think, or, you know, so, yeah.
It is heavily used. Our plan is to make improvements. We have been making improvements to the lodge that's out there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So like to put, you'll see in here as well down the road, we'd like to put a restroom there as well. Just put the restroom there. So that increases the use, if you will, of that leaf. So we expect the use is going to continue to grow, and we'd like to be able to pay the balance.
And I'm just going to ask, because we're there now on that, there's $175,000 in FY23, right? How does that
That for the restroom?
No, I thought it was
paving. It's the last
road improvement.
The last road improvement. That section of road improvement. That's the beach campground.
Okay. I had a note that it was 3 years, so I just wanted to see what came next. Each camera. Okay, now back to it. Any other questions?
The next one is McFarland Park Lake Restoration. So this would be the follow-up to the 50 cents previous FY. So the design, this would be the construction of lake restoration. So don't know yet what that's going to be. Of course, it's going to be, say, a four-bay construction or a cleanup. Potential and a lot of sediment that needs to be removed from the lake, the retention basin just upstream of the lake. So, yes, this is a place where we're going to be. Just be ready for the next one. The lodge improvement that I just mentioned. This is a restaurant, the Oriole. I ideally, I think we would look at if we've already got water back there, so ideally we consider some kind of sewer capacity, whether that be hard piping into the main system or whether that be a standalone, say a Jantech type of system, to be determined. But ideally we'd have flush capacity there.
How many times a year is that lodge rented? How many times per year?
I need to look that up. I don't have that.
Okay, but isn't it almost every weekend?
It's used regularly.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. I've been out there twice when the Cyclone Radio Club, the amateur radio club or whatever, they go out and they do their exercises. Twice I've been out there when they've done their exercises. And I, so, yeah, restroom would be.
So what's the, there's nothing, there's nothing there?
It's just the portable.
Porta-potty.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So graduation functions begin to get out there. No doubt we would get more if we had restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Then going on to the next one, the primitive campground restroom.
The same story. Same story. This is at the primitive campground on the south side of the lake, which right now we just have portos there. So.
Okay. And there's so you're looking at a flush system. Okay. Water already available.
There's primitive and then there's primitive, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one, if you're ready, is campground design or campground expansion or probably, frankly, just a new campground there. That's the part. We know that the existing campground on the north side of the park is full. Full about almost every weekend. But it gets full, and it fills up, say, on Wednesday night, and it's full all day. So our occupancy is very high there, which is a great thing. When we built the plate campground, we thought, well, we'll try to meet some of that need, which has come to fruition, but we still see continued heavy demand in the
I was going to ask the question. I'll ask you afterwards because it doesn't have to do with the CIP. So.
So as a result, then you see one of the things we've always wanted to do is basically be able to respond to that demand and put an additional campground in. We cannot do this until the sewer is done. And, so again, that's why it's later on down the road. And theoretically, by this time.
Any other questions? You can like move on.
No.
Okay.
Back to the next one, shelter gathering area. So kind of just picnic pavilion at West Houston Park again. Again, getting back to the heavy use of that park. Kind of a staged approach to making improvements there. We get the restroom in, and then it would be nice to have a picnic pavilion.
Any questions?
No.
Onto the top, please.
Next one is Tedesco Environmental Learning Corridor improvements, parking lot, restrooms, etc. $460,000 general fund grant tip. That's, and when we recognize Laura's the comment about the 400 for issuing my decimal.
Four million.
But this is something that is in the master plan and kind of a potential in the future when we developed, when we originally did the master plan. And we think that the use is going that direction. So it would be nice to put in an additional parking area that has some dedicated parking for the park, if you will, and then the restroom. And so that's what this is.
So have people been parking at the core? Has there been any problem?
Park at the core, I don't think there's any problem with parking at the core, but we really haven't started very much of an environmental education program out there yet. And so also buses. We anticipate our big problem is going to be when we have, when we start getting some buses on site, how they're going to stage, where, mm-hmm. and what we do here is people in the community, if they go in there during the weekday when all of the offices are open, when the Parliament has their own parking, that they sometimes use that roof also. What we have heard is that it can be difficult to find a spot. I personally haven't seen that yet, but combination between them.
Well, something we're looking at down the road, then we're not looking right. You know, we're not, nothing that we'd be approving now.
Correct.
Putting in a budget, but.
Correct.
Okay. I'll save it. This is my question.
Oh.
Okay, you're right.
The next one is the Skunk River Water Trail Access Improvement. And as you know, the Skunk River is designated as a state water trail. We have several access points along the river, as you know. We have been able to get grant funding to improve of late two of those accesses. And the next access, this would be kind of the next step in making access improvements or launch area improvements. And this would do either the Shrek access, which is off Highway 210, or it would do the Anderson access, which is on 50th Street. We don't know exactly that. Anderson access improvements are contingent on the core land swap, so that has to take place first. Shrek access improvements, we still may look at a different spot to do that. The current one is problematic where it's located on. But this is, again, a placeholder doing an access improvement, and I expect that the grants will be available.
Okay, then moving on to Greenbelt acquisition.
This particular project, this is for land acquisition for several parcels of land, actually, northeast of Cambridge. That had been acquired by the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, and we had been receiving some grants on. In fact, I just got a notice of a $480,000 grant that we received for it.
Congratulations.
And so it's what this represents is $90,000 a year, and you'll see it represented on successive FYs and CIP, but $90,000 a year. From conservation that would come out of the Gladys Louie Trust.
The Conservation Trust Fund is Gladys Louie.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, okay. The Conservation Trust Fund has other sources of revenue, but the majority annually is the Gladys Louie.
Okay.
And that $90,000 is historically what we've been receiving for contributions from Gladys Louie.
I don't have any questions.
So we've got a few more things. I think it'd take us just a couple minutes to get through the rest of fiscal 22, and then we'll have a good stopping place.
Yeah.
If that's okay with everybody from the Veterans Affairs. Everyone? Okay.
All right. Phase 3 of the Justice Center HVAC replacement project. Specific questions on that?
No, we were
lowering.
I don't think we should lower it at this time because we'll know in fiscal year 21.
But
it'll most likely be reduced, but I think for just
because of the engineering.
Yeah, because the engineering will come, and then with that, we'll have an actual cost estimate for the both remaining phases. Mm-hmm. So I think we adjust the phase 3 cost when we have a real accurate cost on that. Next one's the Justice Center fire alarm replacement. So it's due to be replaced. Cost on the upkeep on it's getting start goes up every year. So it's time to upgrade that equipment and get new.
And then the motor grader lease, same as previous years. Can you speak to the sheriff's office request?
Not much. I think it'll be heavily dictated by the space needs study. So, I learned of it right before the CIP talks. So, what I knew of it initially versus the literature that come with the CIP request is a little bit different. So, that's why we chose to not put a dollar amount on it. There's some other things to take into consideration out there, whether or not it can even be done based off of zoning requirements and that kind of stuff. So,
I guess the other comment I'd like to make about that is as we know earlier from our earlier discussion about the cabins, okay, is that as we move forward and when we end up voting on anything that hits fiscal year 22 and beyond is not a promise that it will happen. Okay. It's a plan. To me, I even view this especially as something that this extensive and additional is I view it as a request from the department. All right. A plan, I think, would be too firm to say that. We don't know whether there's even a need for it, and then for the space needs, and then we don't know whether it is, in fact, an effective use of taxpayer money
maybe,
again.
In terms of use plan, maybe what we could really say is just the department's plan now, it's not the board's plan.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to, look at it.
Because I think somebody's doing planning and giving the sense, and I think that's what fits really well with the discussion we had about the cabin, having a long-range plan,
But that doesn't mean the money will, it's the board's plan, the money will be available.
So we don't really need to come back. 2023 are just for our information, and it was good to be able to talk about them, but we don't need to come back and go through 23 and call back and unless somebody
did it in your workshop.
I know, since you didn't in your workshop.
We've already
discussed
it.
That's
how they got put here.
Okay.
I like that we at least know everyone's plans, everyone's wishes and whatever, but as we go forward into 23, the rest of these, they're not guaranteed.
Term to use Laura's wishes.
Well, especially when you do the addition of, you go all the way out to 25, where $15 to $18 million, depending on where you move, of capital improvements. And I know that some people have their eyes on the fact that we have paid off part of our debt, the first round of bonding against the wind turbines. So I don't think any of us are naive enough to think that no one's already got their eyeball out there. These requests look very different than they looked last year as just all of this coming in. So that doesn't mean that that will be how the future board decides how it wants to, or if it wants to obligate itself into that funding.
It's a minute till 11.
Okay.
Thank you. It's a minute till 11, and I'm going to ask folks from Veterans Affairs, can we just have a couple-minute break, and then we'll come back and we'll...